Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Internet world. Welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and once again, I want to say a big thank you for taking out of time from your busy life to join me today on my podcast. Today is Monday, June 19th, 2023. On the broadcast today, I want to explain to you how a simple song written 46 years ago changed, transformed our culture and the world. The song I'm referring to is Dust in the Wind, written by Carrie Livgren, at that time one of the founding members of the rock group Kansas. That song brought fame and fortune to Kansas. And now, 50 years later, since their formation in 1972, they're on their anniversary tour. Now, most of the original members have either departed or died or left. And all that's left in the original members is on drums Phil Earhart and on guitar Rich Williams. Carrie Livgren, who wrote the groundbreaking song on his spiritual journey to Christ, has since departed decades ago. Why is this song so important, and why am I talking about it on my radio program? Well, I'm a musician, too. I'm very much in tune with what's happening in the world of music these days. And growing up as a teenager, Kansas was one of those bands that blended classical music with rock and pop, and they were just phenomenal. Their very first big hit, Carry On Wayward Son, launched them into stadium productions and opening instead of being one of the acts behind the headlining bands. They became the headlining band because of that song. And it was right after that they released their LP, Point of No Return. And one of the last projects that Carrie brought to the album before they were finished rehearsing was this little song on an acoustic guitar that he had used as a finger exercise. His wife bothered him. She said, "Carrie, you have to write something to that music. It's so beautiful." And Carrie was on a spiritual search, looking for meaning and purpose in life. And as you listen to this song, you're going to discover why it was so connected to our culture, why we're awestruck at the music and the lyrics to the song, how it talked to our culture, how it spoke to the young people who they themselves were on some type of a spiritual search. What I want to do this morning is, first of all, I want you to hear this song, and then we're going to visit the lyrics, and then I'm going to talk to you about how this song connects with one of the most impressive books of the Bible, the book of Ecclesiastes. So first things first, I want you to hear this simple little song that connected and transformed our world in 1978. An iconic ballad from the rock group Kansas, Dust in the Wind. And I think you can understand why this song had such an incredible connection with our culture. First of all, it's an acoustic song. If you heard anything by Kansas, it's heavy rock, symphonic, classical, pop. This was a departure for them. It's just the acoustic guitars. And you hear the violinist Robbie Steinhardt, his classical method. But the melody and the words strike such a chord in a spiritually seeking culture. I hear a lot of disillusionment in this song, a lot of emptiness, a lot of meaninglessness. All we are is dust in the wind. We live, we die. The dreams that we dream about, the accomplishments we make, it all ends at the grave. We're just dust in the wind. Well, this song really connected with people, I think, because of the emptiness in their human soul. Now, I want you to hear, once again, I'm just going to read them, the lyrics, because it's so important, the message. I close my eyes only for a moment, and the moment's gone. All my dreams pass before my eyes, a curiosity, dust in the wind. All they are than the wind. Same old song, just a drop of water in an endless sea. All we do crumbles to the ground, though we refuse to see. Dust in the wind. All we are is dust in the wind. Now don't hang on. Nothing lasts forever but the earth and sky. It slips away, and all your money won't another minute buy. Dust in the wind. All we are is dust in the wind. Is that true? I want to connect that, an incredibly profound song, with a book in the Bible. Now, I have read Carey's autobiography, Seeds of Change. He mentions that this was a finger-picking exercise for him. His wife urged him to write it, and it was based on Indian poetry. But he doesn't really elaborate that much more about the song, other than he was on a spiritual search, which one day, actually a couple years later, culminated in surrendering his life to Christ. So this is a song of searching. But it's based, I believe, even if Carey didn't mention it, I think it's so heavily based on the book of Ecclesiastes. Well, what is the book of Ecclesiastes? Well, first of all, it's written by one of the wisest, richest kings in all of the world, Solomon. He was the wisest man that ever lived. That's according to Scripture. But ultimately, he was also the cause of his own downfall. When walking in God's ways and keeping his commands, King Solomon went on to do marvelous things at that time to advance the kingdom of God. Rulers from around the world came to see the wisdom of Solomon at work and the resulting glory of his kingdom. Throughout Solomon's reign, Judah and Israel lived in safety from Dan to Beersheba, each person under his own vine and his own fig tree. However, Solomon had a fatal flaw. He asked for wisdom from God in the beginning, but ultimately he didn't heed the wisdom that God had given him. And he failed to keep his own heart. Solomon wrote the book of Proverbs, instructing us to guard over our heart, but he failed. The wisdom Solomon encouraged his sons to seek was hard won after seeking what was right in front of their eyes for so long, witnessing the effects of his own sin. He lost his way, and at the end of his reign, Solomon's attention became fixed on his love of many foreign women. He had 700 wives. Believe that. Some of them princesses from other lands, marriages that were almost certainly a play for more power in the political realm. And if the wives weren't enough, the king also had 300 concubines. He accumulated mass amounts of wealth for himself, and perhaps the most telling, Solomon adopted the gods of other nations and then introduced the worship of those gods to Israel. Solomon's downfall was rooted in his quest for pleasure and power, and it resulted in idolatry. It led to his downfall. And that's why when you read the book of Ecclesiastes, you're reading the words of a fallen king. You're reading the words of a man who started off in the right pathway, but because of the corruption of foreign wives, the lust for power and fame and fortune, comes to this book. It's almost like his private journal. And he says to us, don't make the same mistake that I made. And think of the song Dust in the Wind. This is at a time when the band Kansas had really established themselves. The record companies were demanding another hit, and Carey Livgren gave them that big hit, which was double platinum for the band Kansas. It was at a time of great accomplishment and fame and fortune, but when you listen carefully to the music and to the lyrics of Dust in the Wind, you hear emptiness. A soul that is empty, a soul that had accomplished so much in the music world, but there was disillusionment, there was emptiness, there was meaninglessness. Carey was on a search, and it's so much like the book of Ecclesiastes. This is a book of perspective. The narrative of this book is called The Preacher. Really, it could be called The Seeker, The Philosopher, if you really look at it carefully. And the preacher in this book reveals that he has a depressed outlook because he's seeking happiness in worldly things apart from God. And this book gives Christians a chance to see the world through the eyes of a person, that is Solomon, who, though very wise, is trying to find meaning in temporary human things. Most every form of worldly pleasure is explored in this book by the preacher or the philosopher or the seeker, and none of it gives him a sense of meaning. You see that through the chapters of the book of Ecclesiastes. Now, in the end, the preacher comes to accept in chapter 12 that faith in God is the only way to find personal meaning. He decides to accept the fact that life is brief, as, you know, Dust of the Wind says, and ultimately worthless without God. And the preacher in the book of Ecclesiastes advises the reader to focus on an eternal God instead of temporary pleasure. The key verses when you study this book that stand out is Ecclesiastes 1:2. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. We could say meaninglessness. All is meaninglessness. Ecclesiastes 1:18, for with much wisdom comes much sorrow. The more knowledge, the more grief. Solomon had plenty of wisdom, but he used it for the wrong reasons, and he found out that wisdom without the fear of the Lord is meaninglessness. Ecclesiastes 2:11, yet when I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless. A chasing after the wind, nothing was gained under the sun. You see, because of the wisdom of man, all of the philosophies of man cannot find and discover God. The opinions of man are finite. It's chasing after the wind. Unless God reveals himself, our searching is in vain. Ecclesiastes 12:1, remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come and the years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. Ecclesiastes 12:13, now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Up until chapter 12, we see a litany. It's like looking over the shoulder of Solomon and reading his journal. We're seeing that he pursued everything. Wisdom, pleasure, etc. And he said in the end, the pursuit of those things led to more depression and more hopelessness and disillusionment, because his faith had went from God to worldly pleasures and to things. You see the word vanity and meaninglessness, as the NIV translates it. It appears so often. And the phrase under the sun in the book of Ecclesiastes is a very often quoted phrase. It refers in fact, to the mortal world, looking at things from the perspective of the mortal world. Everything under the sun, Solomon is saying, he's talking about earthly, temporary, human things under the sun. But, of course, above the sun is the glory of God. So if we take a brief survey of the book of Ecclesiastes, we find that the first seven chapters, when you read this book, describes all of the worldly things under the sun. And in it, the preacher, the philosopher, is trying to find fulfillment in those worldly things. He tries scientific discovery, chapter 1, verses 10 through 11. Wisdom and philosophy, chapters 1, 13 through 18. Mirth, chapter 2, verse 1. Alcohol, chapter 2, verse 3, architecture, chapter 2, verse 4. Property and luxury, chapter 2, verse 8. The preacher turned his mind toward different philosophies to find meaning, such as materialism, chapter 2, and even moral codes. You see those in chapter 8 through 9. He comes to the conclusion that everything was meaningless, a temporary diversion that, without God, had no purpose or longevity. So when you come to chapters 8 through 12, here Ecclesiastes describes the preacher, that is Solomon, suggestions and comments on how a life should be lived. He comes to the conclusion that without God, there is no truth or meaning to life. He has seen many evils and realized that even the best of man's achievements are worth nothing in the long run. So what does he do? Chapter 12 is like Solomon awakening from a long sleep. It's like being born again. It's like coming to the conclusion that, look, everything I've written to you, I've experienced. I'm trying to warn you. If you look for your ultimate fulfillment in these things, it will bring you despair. It will fail you. It will disappoint you. And so in chapter 12, he says, look, don't forget God as a young person. Follow his will. Fear the Lord. Now, what this book does and what the song Dust in the Wind does in our culture, it prepares us to find our hope and our fulfillment, not in our pursuits and pleasures and dreams and achievements, but to find them in Christ. Ecclesiastes 3:17 says that God judges the righteous and the wicked, and the righteous are only those who ultimately are righteous before God. And in the New Testament, we find that he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Now, Ecclesiastes 3:11 talks about eternity in our hearts. And then we find in the New Testament eternal life through believing in Jesus Christ. Every disappointment and vanity that's described in Ecclesiastes has as its remedy in Christ. Christ, who is the wisdom of God and the only true meaning to be found in life. When you think of the song Imagine by John Lennon, it's a song of real despair and brokenness. It's a song that's trying to find ultimate fulfillment in this life without religion, without God, without fear of hell or thinking about heaven. Imagine everything in this world. We're all united. We get along. We're fine. We're good. Imagine is a hopelessness of a world without God. What a profound song, though. A song that has touched billions, I suppose, just like Dust in the Wind. Another song would be The Sounds of Silence by Simon and Garfunkel. These are iconic songs. But Dust in the Wind, I think when Carey wrote that song and put it to music and played it before stadium-size audiences, he connected with his own disillusionment in such a profound way that ultimately, 2 years after he wrote this song, he knelt down in a hotel room and surrendered his life to Christ. Dust in the Wind had shown him that without Jesus, life is meaninglessness. It's emptiness. It's disillusionment. And when you listen to the beautiful, haunting melody of Dust in the Wind, you are confronted with a philosophy that really, without God, that's all we are, is dust in the wind. Now, the Bible talks about our bodies being framed from the dust of the ground, but there's more to it. When God breathed into that body, it became a living soul when the breath of God entered that body. But you see, for those that try to live apart from who God is, that's all we can come to the conclusion, is that we're dust in the wind. We live, We strive to create this happy life, this pursuit of wealth and resources and music and on the list goes. But at the end of the day, we die, death comes, and all we are is dust in the wind. But that's the motto and the creed of those who have no hope in Christ. That's all we would end up being. We would be like James says, our life is but a vapor. It's here, then it's gone. Life is so short. So I want to ask you this morning, do you find your philosophy and meaning in dust in the wind? When you read the book of Ecclesiastes, do you come to that conclusion as well? Or do you read all the way to the end of the book where Solomon says, look, dust in the wind, if you want to believe without God, that's all you are. That's all your worth and value is. But if you trust in the living Creator, the risen Lord Jesus, our living Savior, if you put your hope and trust in Him, there is meaning, there is purpose, because life without God is absurd. It has nothing more than the ending creed of dust in the wind. But when you come to Christ and He breathes in you the breath of regeneration, of being born again, all of a sudden there is a life rewarded by eternal life, eternal joy, eternal riches, and everything that you do for the glory of God is rewarded in the end. Carrie Livgren wrote a song that changed himself and changed the world, and as a result of that song, after years of searching through every major and minor religion, as he says in his autobiography, he finally came to the realization that we are far more than dust in the wind, that we have a God who loves us and gives us meaning and value and purpose. He gives us forgiveness for all of our wrongdoings and sins, and He gives us a life that is worth living. Carrie found that out after he wrote the song, the simple song, that changed the world. It's a song that's on the shelf of some of my most favorite songs. It speaks to our culture 47 years later today in a profound way. And I know that Carrie is so glad that he wrote it, because it was the awakening of his soul to find his utter worthlessness and hopelessness and finding the remedy in Jesus Christ. I hope that you will find your purpose and meaning in Jesus as well. It's always a joy to come to you on the cross in the desert. I'm praying that you have a great week, and I will see you again on Thursday on the cross in the desert.